1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Just hours now until the first Biden-Trump debate.
Biden has been out of the public eye in recent days, holding mock debates. He's expected to focus on abortion rights, along with Trump's alleged role in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Tonight's matchup comes nearly a month after Trump's conviction in his hush money trial. Trump is expected to focus on border security and the economy, specifically inflation. A new survey finds even among upper-income Americans, those making six-figure salaries, one in three now worry about paying their bills.
ABC's Perry Russum. 476,000 homes and businesses across 12 states from Texas to Massachusetts with no electric power after severe weather overnight, the lion's share in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Going nowhere fast. Transport analysts at INRIX say the typical U.S. driver lost 42 hours to traffic congestion in 2023 with a resultant $733 worth of time lost. Two of the nation's largest baby bottle manufacturers are on the business end of class action lawsuits.
Philips is one company, Handicraft is the other. It's the maker of the brand Dr. Brown's Baby. The plaintiffs allege that both companies knew their baby bottles were made using microplastics that can leak when heated, seeping directly into the baby's food or drink. The suit also alleges that both companies were aware of the dangers but still labeled their products BPA-free. The dangers of microplastics are still being examined, but some environmental groups say their ingestion has been proven to be dangerous, especially in small children. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Vermont taxpayer dollars at work. The state ponying up $175,000 to settle Gregory Lombard's First Amendment lawsuit. After a 2021 traffic stop in St. Albans, Lombard gave the cop the middle finger salute, which led to his arrest, an hour in jail, and his car being impounded. The American Civil Liberties Union says it should never have happened. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Together, in a debate of the issues important to you, your first opportunity to hear from President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump is Thursday, June 27th.
Listen live on your local Civic Media radio station. Starting at 7:30 p.m., News Director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, will share insight on what's at stake.
The CNN Presidential Debate, live Thursday, June 27th. Coverage at 7:30, the debate at 8, on your local Civic Media radio station. John Minot and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, DePere head baseball coach Bob Van Ren swings by to talk about that state championship.
And Steve Gandy, operations supervisor with the Howard Commons, joins us to talk about some of the events coming up.
Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north becoming south at 5 to 15. 56 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan and a little weather update. It's Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Boy, it was a nice drive last night up to Oshkosh, where I joined up with the Wisconsin Agriculture Educators. They had their state summer convention. I appreciate them. I appreciate the award they gave to me. More on that as we roll our way through a Thursday. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Weather-wise, it looks like a delightful day on the way today. Use it while you got it, because it's going away pretty quick. For this morning, there may still be a little patchy fog that the La Crosse area witnesses. Should burn off by about mid-morning. Then daytime highs today for everybody under sunny skies, expected to be in the upper 70s. Tonight, clouds start rolling in. We'll be in the upper 50s. And then watch out for Friday. We've got showers and thunderstorms developing already by 10 a.m. over in the La Crosse area. Madison's going to see Friday morning showers probably by the afternoon. And the Milwaukee area probably showers after 4 p.m. on Friday. And then it's around basically all Friday night into Saturday morning. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist is going to bring us weather details. But we also caught up with Wisconsin's Assistant State Climatologist. And she's going to share her insights not only in where we're going with weather patterns, but where we've been and why it's been the way it has. All kinds of moisture, all kinds of heat. So stick around for that conversation. And like I said, I was at the Wisconsin Agriculture Educators State Convention up in Oshkosh last night. We'll hear from the next president of that group as well. So plenty to talk about on a Thursday. You hang on.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compere Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compere.com today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Wisconsin royalty in the form of our Alice in Dairyland. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. I had the 76th Alice in Dairyland Ashley Hagenow in studio. And among the things we chatted about was things that she learned during her year of service and what the future looks like.
In general, I knew how diverse Wisconsin agriculture is, but especially through industry tours and conversations with producers and processors across the state, I have learned just how deep that diversity runs when it comes to Wisconsin agriculture. We are known for our dairy industry, and I have loved the chance to tour cheese processing facilities or get on many different dairy farms, whether it's for June Dairy Month or other times of the year. But there's also been so many other industries that I've had the chance to learn about, whether it's cranberries or potatoes or ginseng or celery or onions or horseradish. You name it, I've had a chance to meet a producer who specializes in those different areas of agriculture. And it's been so much fun then to share that knowledge that I gained with audiences across Wisconsin. A few weeks ago, I actually had the chance to plant horseradish over at Silver Spring Foods, which was so much fun. It's a local business, of course, to the Eau Claire area. And all of a sudden, I was on their planting equipment, planting those horseradish roots. The weather was beautiful. We had a chance to see where they store the roots. And I was just amazed because they are the world's largest horseradish producer. And that business is right here in the state of Wisconsin. So it's stories like that and businesses like that that I have the chance to meet that have just opened my eyes to how abundant Wisconsin agriculture truly is.
And from going to events to those tours, those industry tours, to the farms, to the dairy breakfast, how many miles have you put on Old Tassie?
So far, I have put on 35,000 miles on Tassie, But of course, she didn't really start to be driven until, let's say, November of 2023, when the wrap was officially done. So prior to that, I had put on anywhere between probably 10 to 15,000 miles since the summer on Colonel, who was the vehicle before Tassie. And then we had a few vehicles I was using in that transition period between Colonel and Tassie. So there's been many miles traveled. And that's also excluding the sky miles, I'll call it, when we traveled to China back in November. So I'm definitely counting those miles as well in my year-end report, because every mile traveled has meant something to me, and it's allowed me to experience a new or different part of the state of Wisconsin and our agricultural industry. So I'm very thankful for the miles put on those vehicles and the memories made while doing so.
And I know that you have quite an impact when you go to events, because it's always, there's Alice in Dairyland. You know, I want to chat with her and have something to say. And so you've made a lot of impacts on the community and people that you visited. But what about some of those impacts? I know you learned more about agriculture, but more on a personal level. How has this year of service as Alice in Dairyland really affected you?
Oh, gosh. It's affected me in so many ways. I think for me, a big goal going into this experience, and that has really been a central theme for me, is that Alice is the connection to all of agriculture. And that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. If there's a little girl or boy who is so fascinated by the tiara that I wear and the sash that I wear, I'm that connection for that young consumer. And there are farmers and processors who remember former Alice in Dairylands coming to their farm or business decades ago, and they're so excited to welcome Alice back and continue that tradition of promoting their story and promoting their business. So I'm that connection for that audience and those individuals. And for everyone else in between, if they have a question about where their food comes from, what happens on a farm, what are ways that they can support local businesses and support the state of Wisconsin, I hope to be that connection to them as well. So there's so many different aspects to what Alice is and who she represents. But certainly for me, it's just been that goal to be that connection to agriculture for audiences of all ages, all backgrounds, all demographics. And I just love creating those one-on-one connections and leaving that conversation with a new connection made that will hopefully last for well into the future.
And bringing up that future, you're getting close to the end of this year's service. What's that going to look like for you?
Coming up on July 8th is when we officially, we'll call it passing the tiara. So that is when Haley Heinzel, our 77th Alice, will officially begin her year of service. Again, that date is Monday, July 8th. And that will then be my last official public appearance as the 76th Alice, or my last official public appearance day. So there's about 2 weeks of transition where Haley and I will have some office time together. We'll go through some training. I will be with her in her first drive in Tassie and help her fill up the car that way. We'll have the chance to attend a few community events and county fairs together. And then after July 19th, that is when Haley officially takes off and running, promoting Wisconsin agriculture in so many different ways. So after that transition period, I am excited for the rest of the summer to spend time with family and friends, to travel a little bit. I'll also be helping out at the Wisconsin State Fair for a few days. And that's pretty much the rest of the summer. After that, I am really excited to then re-enter the workforce in a role in agriculture that focuses on marketing, communications, media, education, many of the areas that Alice focuses on. And my underlying goal will be to continue to positively impact the industry of agriculture and our hardworking farmers and processors who make it possible. So that's what's next for me. There are so many exciting things coming up in the next few weeks. And for now, I'm really just soaking in these last few days, serving as the 76th Alice in Dairyland, and having the chance to represent Wisconsin's agricultural industry.
And I've been at this job 2.5 years, and I've noticed the personal growth and the excitement. And you're no exception to that rule. You came in with a lot of good things in that backpack, but I think that backpack has gotten a lot bigger for you, and you're much more willing to share that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And that is super valuable here in the agriculture industry.
It is. It is. This experience is all about growth, and it's amazing, like you said, Jill, when you start day one, and then as you start to wrap up this year, it is incredible, all of those experiences and conversations that shape you throughout this year of service. And you leave this experience a way better person, I like to think, because of all that Alice in Dairyland is and all that she does each and every year. So I'm excited to take all of the knowledge gained and the skills that I've gained this year into my future, both personally and professionally. And I'm just forever grateful for this experience of serving as Alice in Dairyland and being that connection to the industry of agriculture.
And for our final recorded interview, that was our 76th Alice in Dairyland, Ashley Hagenow. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk. Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm and Superior, Wisconsin 4th of July Parade Coordinator Carolyn Nelson Cavias. It's going to be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Agriculture Educators State Convention that happened, actually concluded last night in Oshkosh. Went up there to catch up with those folks, and I've got details with their next state president on the way. She's from Denmark, Wisconsin. You know, we all are focused in on weather, not just for today through the weekend, 4th of July, but for farmers, it's what in the world is going on here? Bridget Mason is asking herself the same questions. She's an assistant state climatologist at the climatology office, and she said, it's been perplexing, all the tornadoes we saw in the month of June, the temperature spikes that we've seen. She said, now looks like July is going to have more question marks.
So it looks like
to end out June, begin July, we're expecting to continue seeing an active weather pattern. You know, over the next 7 days or so, you may see upwards of 2 inches if you're in the south central or southeastern parts of Wisconsin. But it looks like most everyone will see at least a half inch over the next 7 days. Looking into July over the next 2 weeks or so, it looks like we're leaning toward warmer than normal conditions and possibly wetter than normal. We do have a slight risk for excessive rainfall amounts in place for all of Wisconsin between July 2nd and 8th.
Oh, are you kidding me? Bridget Mason, she's the assistant state climatologist, just doing her job. But, oh, Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, those words hurt. Oh, my goodness, when you start assigning big numbers, whole numbers, if you will, to rainfall, it just makes me cringe. That was everybody was talking about that last evening at the Ag Teachers Conference. I mean, they're impacted just like farmers are.
Well, absolutely. And we just have, unfortunately, this active pattern and more rain in store. And although the radar, Pam, this morning only shows rain in central South Dakota and central Nebraska, guess what? That's coming to Wisconsin. Mm. We'll get our rain chance for tomorrow. Mm. And it's going to start to measure up somewhat, not like we've seen, not like last weekend where we all had inches. I think we're maybe talking some quarter to half inch amounts yet as we wrap up the week. But low pressure is trying to strengthen a bit out in the Rockies. There's a warm front just into western South Dakota and Nebraska. That's where that rain is, out ahead of that warm front. That warm front lifts northeast through Wisconsin tonight. And that could lead to some rain chances in the west and northwest, more likely spreading across the state than as we head through the day Friday. A cool front will follow all of that through to wrap things up for us later Friday night or by Saturday morning in the east at the latest. But there's rain then for Friday and probably into Friday night. And then it starts to clear out, the weekend drying up, staying a little warmer Saturday, cooling a little bit, but dry for Sunday and into Monday. And like we heard, I'd expect as we look on toward Tuesday or maybe lingering to Wednesday, another round of some rainfall returns. Yeah, not hay drying weather. That's unfortunate. And as much as we need things to dry out so those crops stand a fighting chance, it looks like that water level won't be receding all that quickly either. I'll have our forecast details in a moment.
I really love the change-up I'm seeing at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke reminding you, shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com, or better yet, let your nose lead you to the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Bavaria Sausage, more expanded hours. Their retail location open now Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays 9 until 1. And like I said, let your nose lead you. The old world flavors are in the air. And if it's time for a brat fry, they'll be outdoors sharing those smells and those flavors. And I like the change up there, too. They're featuring different brats, different sausages every time they hold that event. Follow them on social media to find out for the next scheduled brat fry. And like I said, the old world flavor stays intact, but be sure to pay attention to new flavors being offered all the time. Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
I was down by Blanchardville visiting with some dairy folks yesterday, Stu. As you pointed out, there is a lot of hay that went down real quick, and they're hoping, I'm assuming, to pick it up real quick.
Well, yeah, they really want it off today because, unfortunately, tomorrow things are changing. Mostly sunny today, a fine day, a little more breeze would certainly help with drying, but I'd expect temps in the mid or maybe a few upper 70s, lower 70s further north. East winds becoming southeast, only 5 to 10. More clouds develop tonight. Western Wisconsin may see some rain chance quite late tonight. As we hold in the upper 50s, the winds out of the southeast will be around 5 to 10. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm or two, not a stormy period, but rainfall, and that could take us up to a quarter inch, maybe a half inch in western parts of the state, mid-70s most likely around Friday. And by Saturday, any kind of rain ending, cloudy start clearing out, brightening up. Low 80s, upper 70s, and low 80s Saturday, Pam, with a west breeze. And Sunday, a little cooler again, lower 70s with sun. The wrap-up of the weekend, Sunday, Monday, sounding tremendous once again.
Oh, it figures. It just figures. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed for everybody that's got hay down that they can get her picked up today and let everybody enjoy today, right?
Yeah, yeah. Take care of it today. Take the advantage of nice weather because it is going to change.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, keeping you up to date on a Thursday morning. Stand by for more.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs. It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the pre-clearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have pre-clearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Together, in a debate of the issues important to you, your first opportunity to hear from President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump is Thursday, June 27th.
Listen live on your local Civic Media radio station. Starting at 7:30 p.m., News Director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, will share insight on what's at stake.
The CNN Presidential Debate, live Thursday, June 27th. Coverage at 7:30, the debate at 8, on your local Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Just hours now until the first Biden-Trump debate.
Biden has been out of the public eye in recent days, holding mock debates. He's expected to focus on abortion rights, along with Trump's alleged role in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Tonight's matchup comes nearly a month after Trump's conviction in his hush money trial. Trump is expected to focus on border security and the economy, specifically inflation. A new survey finds even among upper-income Americans, those making six-figure salaries, one in three now worry about paying their bills.
ABC's Perry Russin. 476,000 homes and businesses across 12 states from Texas to Massachusetts with no electric power after severe weather overnight, the lion's share in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Going nowhere fast. Transport analysts at INRIX say the typical U.S. driver lost 42 hours to traffic congestion in 2023 with a resultant $733 worth of time lost.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A youth counselor at the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in northern Wisconsin is dead. Corey Pruhl was one of two employees allegedly attacked by a 16-year-old inmate Monday night. Problems at Lincoln Hills go back several years. A new youth prison in Milwaukee is in the works. The latest Marquette University Law School poll is out with how Wisconsin is leaning in the race for president.
You'll be shocked to know it's a close race. We have the presidential race at 50-50 this time with registered voters.
Poll director Charles Franklin says President Biden has a 2-point lead over Donald Trump with likely voters. Franklin says Republicans are more enthusiastic about voting for Trump than Democrats are for Biden. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks add a player in the first round. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Milwaukee, where the Bucks used the 23rd pick overall to select a guard, 19-year-old A.J. Johnson out of California. Johnson, 6'5", about 170 pounds. Instead of playing for Texas, he decided to play professional basketball in Australia. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he thinks Johnson will be able to help the team now or down the road.
I'll never put a limit or a ceiling on someone. Maybe he'll play a lot this year. Maybe he won't. If he did, he wouldn't be the first player, at his age and his frame to play a lot, even on a good team. I don't want to put that limit on him. When you get in that part of the draft, the assessment we had to make is here's a handful of guys that are win now. Here's a handful of guys that maybe have a higher development curve or a longer runway. I think he's a combination of both.
Baseball, the Brewers win a thriller, 6-5 in 10 innings, completing a three-game sweep of the Texas Rangers at AmFam Field. The crew has the day off before opening a weekend series against the Cubs Friday night. From the Bucks, NBA draft in Milwaukee, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we get you ready for the presidential debate, Biden v. Trump. Everything you want to know right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north becoming south at 5 to 15. 56 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Together, in a debate of the issues important to you, your first opportunity to hear from President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump is Thursday, June 27th.
Listen live on your local Civic Media radio station, starting at 7:30 p.m. News Director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, will share insight on what's at stake.
The CNN Presidential Debate, live Thursday, June 27th. Coverage at 7:30, the debate at 8, on your local Civic Media radio station. Mino and the Mayor.
Would it be improper for me to be at the farmer's market in my biker shorts tonight? Depends. Because people can wear biker shorts in public. Sure. Okay. Of course you can. So, are you comfortable with that? I am. Really? Yeah, I got those good thighs. Sometimes I need you to be released. You don't worry about, unleash the thighs. I've had people tell me that.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Redeveloping across the state of Wisconsin, starting in La Crosse, moving to the Madison area, and on Friday, definitely in the Milwaukee area. Not exactly great timing for Summerfest, but again, today is a good day, so let's enjoy it while we can. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Stick around. I'm going to get out of the big chair. Charity Seebecker catching up with our commodity specialist this morning. That's Kathleen Wolfley. She's out in New York State. She's going to be joining us to give us a quick update on what's happening as far as the dairy trade is concerned. That's on the way. So today is the 27th day of June. Let's see. On this day, back in 1956, the film Moby Dick is premiered. John Huston adapted Herman Melville's novel. Didn't have the greatest box office success, but today it's considered an outstanding work, especially for light and color. The film Moby Dick premieres on this day, back in 1956. Happy anniversary this morning to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Milwaukee Sentinel was founded on this day back in 1837, making it the state's oldest newspaper. Of course, now it is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That was founded in 1973. Happy anniversary, though. Happy birthday to Spider-Man actor Tobey Maguire, 49 years young. And she's all over social media, and you'll know about it today. Khloe Kardashian. Today she turns 40. Happy birthday. And now you know. Well, it was a real pleasure catching up with all of our agriculture educators that gathered together for their state convention in Oshkosh. Now, there were a lot of awards that were presented last night, so I'm sure that I missed several. First of all, I want to congratulate David Lash from the Beaver Dam area. He's past agriculture instructor at Beaver Dam. He was presented last night with the Lifetime Achievement Award and the Outstanding Service Award from the Wisconsin Agriculture Educators. Also, a special shout out to Terry Costello, agriculture instructor from Waupun. She's now retired after more than 30 years with Waupun. She was also recognized last night as one of the state staff. But I'll try to post more of the pictures, more of the details as they become available up at Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. I did get a chance to catch up with the new president of the Wisconsin Association of Ag Educators. She hails from the Denmark High School. Her name, Mary Handrich, and she is single-handedly trying to handle a lot of responsibilities when it comes to not only curriculum, but real-life experiences for students in her classroom. Handrich explains why getting together as a group means so much to not only those agriculture educators that have been around for a little while, but especially those that are brand new.
It's a strong foundation of agriculture educators where we know each other. I think that's one benefit of being an ag teacher in Wisconsin. We know each other. We know who teaches where. And then that helps because if you're a younger teacher, you feel comfortable talking to your other teachers from other schools, because when you're a typical ag teacher, you're probably one in your department and one in your school, so you don't really have that to bounce ideas off. But we feel very comfortable with each other to reach out for resources, chaperoning if we need extra chaperones, and we're always willing to help each other out no matter what. If it's just a, hey, I need to vent about something, or if it's, hey, I need this resource, help me out.
How are you feeling about the numbers of teachers in Wisconsin? I know there's always vacancies. We're always trying to pinch fill different spots and that kind of thing. How do you folks as the core group look at that, deal with that, areas you'd like to see improvement?
We're always lacking teachers going into the field. So we're always pushing our students with the Teach Ag program and Tag to Teach Ag. But we're having a lot of experience-based teachers come in, which they need just a different level of support. They have the knowledge. They just need the support on how do you manage my classroom. But being welcoming is the key. From my interaction with those experience-based teachers, they just want to know how they fit in. And so So we do our, you know, I really try to make sure they understand that they fit in with us. You know, they're not the traditional route of going to college to be an ag teacher, but they have a wealth of information that we can also use and rely on.
Now, as you, as we said, take over the reins, so to speak, as president of the association, anything in particular that we should know you're working on, there's that's on the agenda, areas where you see emphasis coming up in 2025?
We are really working with our Wisconsin Technical College system this year, really making sure we have a streamlined plan in place, because they have another level of resources and information that they can help us do our jobs better. So we are really going to build that relationship and make sure that next year in our PDC that we can actually utilize them and help our teachers. You know, if I don't have the resource, I can rely on my local technical college to help me get that resource or provide that learning experience for my students.
What's, I know Fox Valley Tech, but what's been the reaction of the technical colleges across the Wisconsin with this kind of a plan going forward?
They're the ones who came to us and asked. So they are like, we are here. Tell us what we can do. We want to be a part of your week of professional development. What can we do? How can we help? Because they realize that local districts can only do so much, and they're just another level of help for us. And that's what's so nice, to have that, to lean on them, and hopefully we can continue to build that strong relationship.
Well, and again, back to that phrase, rigor just helps there.
It is, because students are now graduating. I mean, they're sophomores in college by the time they graduate high school because of that technical college system, and being able to connect with them and have those offerings. They wouldn't have to let us do that, but they do because they realize it helps them out as well. It gets, you know, I could take my students to Fox Valley Tech for experiences that I might not do if I didn't have that dual credit and that relationship with those instructors.
What's your experience, Mary, with that kind of rigor and those kinds of shared experiences, shared educational platforms? Job placement is incredibly high. I always try to stress that to parents that have young people that are still trying to figure it out. My goodness, we can't provide people fast enough.
If we go with along like technical college routes, we're finding out that a person graduating with a two-year technical degree is actually making more than a student graduating from a four-year degree. So just keeping those options open and making sure students realize, you know what, maybe start here at a technical college, or and then maybe I can always transfer to a four-year if I want to, because, you know, the sky's the limit. And you know what, there's a lot of just good programs local, and it's a lot less expensive as well.
Mary Handrich, she is the new president of the Wisconsin Association of Agriculture Educators. She is the instructor and FFA advisor from Denmark. And we heard a lot of that last night, how our local agriculture educators, FFA advisors, are really networking with technical colleges all across the state to really make the most of their resources while stretching the resources of those local instructors. Congratulations, Mary. And like I said, a lot of news generated last night up in Oshkosh. I'll try to present it on our website, on our social media streams, coming up a little bit later today.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compeer Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
All right, let's pivot quick, take a look at the markets. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a penny to 190. 40-pound block cheese was up 0.75 cents at 188. The AA butter yesterday, big day, up 5.75 cents at 309 a pound. I hope we're going to find out more about that in just a moment when Charity joins us with Kathleen Wolfley. She is out in New York State, and she is our guest with EverAg. As far as the markets this morning, our December corn currently is trading down 2 cents at 435. November soybeans are up 2.75 cents, 11.09 3/4. July wheat up 2.5, 5.43 3/4. Looks like our July class 3 milk is up 4 cents at 19.56. The August milk up 9 right now, 20.59 a hundredweight. Some good news for you. If you're hosting a crew next week for the 4th of July holiday, the cost of your picnic basket slipped a little bit. especially compared to what hosts are paying in California. Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation says that for the 12 food items most likely to be served at your summer cookout, the cost, $66.38 for a group of 10. That's down about a half a percentage point compared to last year. If you take it per person, that means you're spending less than $7 per person for your summer cookout. On the flip side of that, take a look at what's going on in, say, California. The average cost for a group of 10 in California, more than $80, meaning that the cost per person is more than $8 a plate. So a lot of that about regulatory costs that farmers and in turn the food industry is facing in California. Want to see more on that? Like I said, MidwestFarmReport.com. Well, it looks like Charity Seebecker has secured our next guest, catching up this morning with a fairly new voice for us from EverAg, Kathleen Wolfley. She's one of their dairy analyst specialists. She's in New York State with a young family, as a matter of fact. That's why we're having to juggle things around a little bit on a Thursday. She'll join us coming up. And another quick reminder, tomorrow, talking about the situation in the dairy industry, we'll be catching up with our friends from Compeer Financial to talk more about the landscape that Wisconsin's dairy industry is trying to work through, not just as far as June dairy celebrations in this crazy weather, but also talking about the long-term play and reinvesting in Wisconsin dairy for the next generation. That's coming up tomorrow. Coming up next, Charity Seebecker with our friends from EverAg.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Matt Nair on air.
It is Wisconsin. We need to have some kind of presidential debate drinking game. What is the cue?
Is it rigged? Is it
come on, man? Malarkey though.
I think
malarkey is like a 5-point word.
Yeah, that's the one ring to rule them all. That is the one you want to get. I feel like he will switch some voters if he does malarkey because it's just so darn charming.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Crude and Dom. Tune in for the debate day edition of the Devil's Advocates. We'll have Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Winkler and party at the Barrymore Theater. See you there. The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Friday, and kind of gave us a glimpse at where we landed in May, and milk production for the total U.S. was down 0.9% year over year. That was a little bit below our expectations, but overall, we call the report fairly neutral. Just taking into consideration the fact that markets have been pretty strong here in the last several weeks, I don't know as though this report came as too much of a surprise. But we continue to keep a really close eye on what's happening with cow numbers. And in the U.S. in May, we did see about 5,000 cows added between May and April, with a lot of that growth coming in places like Texas and New Mexico, a place where we really haven't been talking about growth very much in recent months or in recent years. The other thing we're watching really closely is what's going on with HPAI or avian influenza, really trying to dig in and see if that seems to be influencing milk production at all in a big way. And from the data so far, I think there's a couple little blips, but we're not really seeing any sort of major, major impact to milk production as avian influenza has moved its way across the U.S.
Well, I would say that's, you know, a positive, but transitioning into then that, what's the current capacity for our cold storage looking like then with these factors?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, obviously, we've kind of gotten ourselves in this position in the last several weeks, let's say 6 to 8 weeks, or maybe even more than that, where the market's been in a bit of a short squeeze on fresh 4 to 30 day old product. And that's really what's going to drive prices in Chicago. It's the currency in Chicago. And when we have little blips in supply availability, you can see the markets move one direction or another, depending on that availability of 4 to 30 day old or fresh cheese. Now we're in this position where, okay, we've been a little tight on fresh cheese supplies. We've been exporting a lot. We saw exports in April up over 100 million pounds for the second month in a row. That means that, hey, we haven't had a lot of extra product likely to put into the warehouse or into coolers. And we did see the May cold storage report showing a little bit of a dip in inventory build between April and May. So inventories on the American cheese stock side of things were down about 4.2% year over year. So we're seeing a little bit of a slip in overall American cheese stocks. Just we've had opportunities to sell that cheese elsewhere, not necessarily putting it into the warehouse.
So kind of building upon that then, transitioning into class 3 milk, fluid milk specifically, what are we looking in that side of things? Because I feel like they're still looking for direction with that and that pricing.
I think that's a really great point around searching for direction. We've kind of seen a lot of choppiness in the marketplace in the last couple weeks with hitting new life of contract highs in the second half futures market 2 weeks ago, and then seeing a bit of retracement last week down to pricing that we were trading in late May. And here midweek, we're back into talking $20-ish dollar milk on average for the second half of 2024, and that's for class 3 in particular. And I think that in general, the market is trying to sort through, okay, milk availability, not quite as long as we were a year ago. The situation is we were down 0.9% in May. So we may not have quite as much milk around, though that doesn't come as too much of a surprise. I think people are just concerned about what happens if we have a really hot summer. What happens if cattle availability remains tight and we're not able to grow supply as much as the market is looking for? At the same time, demand here in the domestic market has been pretty good. Promotional activity has been helpful, so that's been good for helping to move a little bit more product into consumer hands. But I think that there's also a question around what does export demand look like into the second half, particularly at these $1.90 to $2-ish futures prices into the second half of 2024. Those are probably not all that competitive values for an international buyer that's looking at U.S. prices, European prices, New Zealand prices, and trying to decide where they're going to buy their cheese from next. So I think that the market is trying to weigh all those factors, uncertainty around milk production, what seems to be a pretty good recovery in domestic demand, though lingering questions around its sustainability, and uncertainty around what the export front is going to look like. So I suspect we're probably in this position where the market could stay in a fairly choppy position, just searching for that direction of what's going to be the leading factor.
Once again, everybody, that's agriculture broker Kathleen Wolfley with EverAg. That's ever.ag along with us. You can reach out to them anytime if you have questions, need some help. They're willing to give you all of this and more. Like she was just talking, all of these dairy commodities with us. And thanks for joining the Midwest Farm Report on this Thursday morning, everybody. Have a great day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Some tips for heat stress prevention in cattle. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Summertime heat can be a challenge for pastured cattle. Kansas State University Extension veterinarian A.J. Tarpoff.
Cattle don't lay down as much, especially whenever they get heat stress. They're trying to increase airflow. Unfortunately, that might lead to bunching, where groups of cattle, even in a pasture, will bunch up together. They're trying to get increased airflow, but they end up using each other as shade, which is kind of counterproductive.
Tarpoff says there are four parameters for measuring heat stress: temperature, humidity, wind speed, and solar radiation. He offers a two-pronged solution for managing heat stress in cattle.
Water availability for those animals is absolutely critical when the temperatures start to rise. Increasing water tank capacity. Either we can split pens and increase water tank capacity that way, or even put some portable tubs into those pens to increase the water availability whenever those animals need it. Number two is feeding. We might be able to modify our feeding times to be able to help alleviate some of these stressors. So as they digest those feedstuffs, they actually increase the amount of heat that they produce. So what we can try to do is change our feeding times, or even adapt some of our feeding management.
There's a link to a longer discussion with A.J. Tarpoff about heat stress on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, I'll talk to Omar Flores from the Coalition to March on the RNC about the right to protest at the upcoming Republican convention.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Photographs, paperwork, and stories about the LGBTQ plus movement in our state now being collected for the Wisconsin First Archive Project. It's a new effort to preserve and celebrate the history and national legacy of Wisconsin as the first state to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Organizers say providing this history in one place will improve awareness and keep these memories alive. The effort is being led by Our Lives Media, a Madison-based nonprofit which will offer a free online archive.
It's a proud moment during this Pride Month to remember the fight for equal rights includes equality for all. I'm Terry Barr. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Tonight's debate between President Biden and former President Donald Trump coming months ahead of the November